fourth a ruling.
Amir Abelazar. No. Yeah, the Gemara says fourth a ruling. Chesa mid aleph, a little bit beyond midway of the page, to two dots. This is very interesting, simple Gemara. It's not very hard. Amir Abelazar, Abelazar said, Hiskachili b'mon, if a guy says to a lady, I want you to become a kodeshes to me with $100. V'nosin l'dinar, instead of giving her the $100, he gives her $1. In other words, the question is it valid or isn't it valid? So the Gemara says, Arei zumu kodeshes. It's valid, but v'yashtem, he has to pay the rest of the money. In other words, my time, but the Gemara says, why? He said $100 and he didn't give her $100. So he says, Kivin da Malay Mana, the fact that he said $100, the Yoiv Ladina, and he gave her $1, command the Amrle, and she took the dollar, it's considered as if he said Amenazdami, as if it's a condition. In other words, like this, he says, I'm going to do Kiddush with you for $100. Then he gives her $1 and she takes it. Right? But so Rabbi Lazar says the fact that she took it means that she thinks in her mind he's going to give me the $100. That's the condition. In other words, here's the kedusha money, and the condition I give you the $100, the rest of the money. And Vamer Ravona Merav, because Ravona said name of Rav, Kol Ha'emer Amenas. Anytime a person makes condition and he says Almenas, and the condition. Is like he said now. In other words, there's a very interesting question that the Gemara is discussing here. If I give money to a woman and say to her, on the condition, this and this happens. Okay?
Yeah.
When is the kedushin effective? And a week later, the guy fills the condition. He fulfills the condition a week later.
It gives him $99.
No. A guy says, Arat Mugadashasli, Almanas, that I'm going to dance for you. But he gives him money, Kedushin, and he says, on the condition I'm going to dance for you. A week later, he dances. So Rav Huna Merav says, the Kedushin is not valid after a week. Kedushin retroactively, as if he said, Arem at Mugadashas, from now, on the condition I dance for you. Then when he dances, it's retroactively back to the time of Kedushin. And this is what Rabbi Lazar is explaining his reason. When he says to a woman, you will become a Kedushin to me on the condition, he's saying $100, but it means, on the condition I'll give you $100, he gives her $1 now. When he gives the rest of the money eventually, she's retroactively Mekudeshes to him.
I have a question for you.
What?
And when is he going to give this money? The day after the wedding?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't say when. As long as he pays it up, yeah?
Okay, but I'm not sure that what you said is what you mean, because if what happens between the time that he pays the dollar and he pays the other 99, what's your status then?
Oh, so it's a doubt status, which means once he pays up the $99, she's retroactively, let's give dates. Rosh Chodesh Aleph Adar. Tomorrow's Aleph Adar, yeah? He says, it's actually b'mana. We become kedushin to me with $100, and the Gemara Rabbi Lazar's case, he gives it right now $1. Okay, so Rabbi Lazar says mekudeshes, but eventually he has to pay it up. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Because Rabbi Lazar holds that when you say this concept, I'm giving you $100, and he only gives it $1, and she's accepting the dollar. She's not telling the guy, hey, 1 minute, you promised me $100. She's not saying that. She's accepting the dollar. So in her mind, it means the guy made a condition with her. On the condition, he pays up to $100. And Rav Huna says that it's retroactively mekudeshes. Which means like this. If Aleph Adar, he does this, and Aleph Nissen, he pays up the rest of the money, then retroactively from Aleph Adar, she's engaged, mekudeshes. Now, which means, what happens if a guy on the 15th of Adar gave her kedushin? No, now the question is like, if the first kedushin is valid, she's not mekudeshes to the second. If the second one is valid, then she cannot become mekudeshes to the first. So the Belazar holds, and if on Aleph Nissen, the guy paid up the money, she's retroactively mekudeshes to the first guy, Aleph Adar, and the guy that did kedushin on the 15th of Adar is worthless. Because he can't do kedushin to a mekudeshed lady, right? But if he never pays up the money...
It's never.
Oh. So the question is, anytime she'll accept kedushin from a second guy, right, it's a doubtful kedushin. Because maybe 10 years later he'll pay up.
Yeah.
The only way he can is if he dies.
It wouldn't work now.
Okay, so what happens if what's your status then? She can accept kedushin from somebody else?
She's not supposed to. What happens if she does? She does. She doesn't know this. She comes and accepts kedushin. Right?
Yeah.
So then, both are doubtful kedushins now.
How does she make this? How does she make the second one valid if that's her intention?
She can't make it valid unless if the first guy conks out completely, that he's not going to give it anymore.
So once he begins performance of that condition, forever after, she remains in some way tied
in limbo. Yeah.
There's two guys involved in it.
I'm saying, what would be if a second guy came 15 days later? Yeah.
But today it wouldn't work because they want the money now. They don't want to wait.
Well, then she would have to say so. Okay, Meisvei, the Gemara asks a question of Belozer's ruling. It says in the Braisa the following. Hiskacheli b'mana, a guy says to a woman, become a kodeshes to me with $100. V'yameina v'heilach, and he starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. V'rotza echad me'am lachzer, if one of them wanted to change their mind, even in the last dollar, they come back out. The Braisa says a din like this. A guy comes over to a woman and says, hey, become a kodeshes to me with $100. And he starts, he has a bunch of ones, right? He goes 1, 2, 3, 4. At 50, the lady says, you know, I changed my mind. She could change her mind.
So could he?
So could he? Yeah, either one. He says, either one could change the mind. So the question is like this. Rabbi Lozer just got through saying that the Kedusha is retroactive
from dollar one,
so how could she change her mind? So the Gemara answered like this. Hocha b'mayaskinan is speaking in the case of the Brais as follows. The Amar b'monazu, he says, become a Kedushas to me with this pack of ones. He says, with this pack of ones. Because he says with this pack of ones, it has to be this pack. So until he doesn't give her all the money in the pack, they can both change their mind. But if he just said with a mana, with 100, it would be good. In other words, Belazar's din is speaking when a guy just said, become a kedushas to me with 100. As soon as he gives her a dollar, the kedushin's valid. Rabbi Lazar's case is speaking, the guy said, become a Kodesh to me with this $100. So then, until he gives all this $100, he means this dollars, not the condition. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute, Bahamid the Sefer B'manazu, if the end, which is the end, which case we just brought, is speaking by Manazu, that he says, this money, Reisha B'manastam, that means the first part of the Mishnah is not, because he's going to say in a second, there's two parts of this Braisa. The second part says, Manazu, which the Gemara quoted. But in the first part, it says, Reisha B'manastam. Why? The Katan is safer. It says at the end of the Braisa like this. Amalo Hiskachi B'manazu. Now, the end of the Braisa, it says, the guy comes over to a woman and says, become a kodeshes to me with this mana. In the first half of the Braisa that the Gemara quoted, it doesn't say mana zu. It just says mana, which means plain mana. What happens? His kachli b'mana zu, the guy says to the woman, become a kodeshes to me with this 100, v'nim to mana m'chaser diner. And it rolls only $99, a typical Jew. He gives a pack of money. He said, become a Kodeshes to me with this $100. He count the money, there's only 99. Or, Dinesh on the Chayshis, it's just as if it was metal currency. One of them wasn't silver, it was copper. Ain't Mekudeshes. It's not Mekudeshes. Why? Because he says 100 is 99. He says silver. Mana means 100 silver. So then he's only giving her copper. What happens if it's dinar da? What happened if it's a flawed dinar? The Gemara is going to explain what that means. If it's flawed, then hadeizim ukadeshis, it's a valid kedushin, but the yachlif, he has to exchange it for a good one. He has to change it for a good one. Because he gave her a rotten coin. So you have to change it for a
good one. She can't get out of it?
So what's a rotten coin?
The Gemara is going to explain in a second, one second.
She can't get out of it?
Well, yeah.
Why is a rotten coin different from copper?
The Gemara is going to ask that. One second. The Gemara is going to mamash discuss the difference between a rotten coin and copper.
Or counterfeit.
Counterfeit is the same thing. No. Counterfeit is different. The Gemara says, Dina Ra means, in case of great need, you could use it. You know, Shasat Chak, in time of great need, you could use it. Right. It sounds like this. The Braisa says, two dinam. One thing the Braisa says, a man says to a woman, his kachali b'mona, become a kadeshus to me with $100. And he's going, 1, 2, 3, 4. They can both change their mind, chesamid aleph. They can both change their mind until the last currency is done. Okay? Then the Braisa says the second case. What happens if a man says, this is Kedushin, with this $100, and you find out there were only 99, or you found out there was copper instead of silver, or you found out, then it's not Mekudeshes. Okay? If it was a dinara, a bad coin, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, then it is Mekudeshes. Now, the fact that the end of the Braisa says Monazu means, the first half of the Braisa, when it says Mona, just means mana, regular 100. Right? So the Gemara's question is, we just answered Rabbi Elazar, which I'll explain in a second. That Rabbi Elazar says that if a guy says to a woman, his kachali b'manazu, Rabbi Elazar said like this, a guy comes to a woman, says, listen, become a kadeshus to me with $100. So he says, b'mana, with $100. And he gives her $1. Rabbi Elazar said it's a good kedushin, providing he pays up the other 99.
And how much time?
No, it doesn't say. That's the problem. It doesn't say. He says, "Become a kedushin to me with $100," and he gives her $1. She accepts it. The din is Rabbi Elazar says a kedushin. So the Gemara says why? So the Gemara says because Rabbi Elazar holds that when you give her $100. And you say 100, and you give her 1, it's like you made a condition. Here is Kedushin, and the condition, I make up the 100. And Rav Huna says, conditions, in this case, are retroactively valid from the time you said the Kedushin. Even though the condition was met a month later, the Kedushin is retroactively valid from the time you made the Kedushin.
In all aspects of marriage?
In this case, when I'm an ass. When a guy says, I'm not in the condition.
So if he's married 99 years and he never pays it,
then he's not married.
The whole 99.
No, then he can't live with him. No, they can't do a chuppah. Remember, this is a kedushin, this is not chuppah. They can't do a chuppah until the kedushin is met. Right? Now, so the Gemara asked the question of Rabbi Elazar. It says in the Braisa, if your man gives a woman, it says like this, Hiskachili b'mana, become a kedushas to me with $100. And he starts counting the money. 1, 2, 3, 4. Until he gets to 100, they can both change their mind. Why? Because 100 wasn't given. So the question, Rabbi Elazar, that's not what Rabbi Elazar said. Rabbi Elazar said that if you say 100, as soon as you give her a dollar, the kedushin's valid. Why over here does the Braisa say it's not valid? You can change your mind until all 100 are given. So the Gemara says, because it's speaking in the Braisa, you know why you can change your mind? Because the Braisa is speaking in a case when he said, Manazu, this 100. So then she wants the whole 100. So the Gemara asks, but the end of the Braisa says, Manazu, which means the first half of the braisa the Gemara just quoted is not monazu. So how can you say it means monazu? So the Gemara says like, no. Reisha v'seifa, both parts of the braisa are speaking monazu. That he said monazu. Uperusha kamefarish, the second half of the braisa is only explaining the first half of the braisa, meaning. If one of them want to change their mind, afilo bedinur acharon, even before he gives the last coin, both people can change their mind, either the man or the wife or the woman. Kate said, "What's the case?" A man says to a woman, "Become a kadesh to me." No, with this, not yet. Don't turn the page yet. B'manazu, and until he gives the whole hundred. They could change their mind. Why? There's a difference if a guy says, "Become mukadeshes to me with this hundred," or "Become mukadeshes to me with a hundred." When he says to a woman, "Become mukadeshes to me with this hundred," in the woman's mind, all hundred is kedushin, because he says, "Become mukadeshes to me with this $100, or these $100, whatever. Yeah? So in the woman's mind, it's not a condition. She thinks the kedushin is when he gives her the $100. Therefore, until the last dollar is given, they could both change their mind. Rabbi Lazar's din is speaking, a guy says to a woman, "Become a kedushin to me with $100. And he gives her a dollar. Then Rabbi Lazar says, in the woman's mind, the kedushin is with a dollar. And everything else is a condition. When he pays the $100, then the kedushin is retroactively good. But it's not that kedushin is not effective until the hundred is over, because he didn't say with this hundred. If he says, "Become a kedushin to me with this hundred," then in the woman's mind, the hundred is the kedushin. And therefore, until you give all hundred, the kedushin wasn't done, so you could change your mind.
The second one you can't change?
No, because over there you said, "Become a kodesh to me with $100. And he gives her a dollar. The Gemara,
so as long as
the Gemara tells us what people think. The Gemara says, at that moment the lady thinks, okay, the kedushin is right now, and he owes me $99.
But she's accepting it now.
Right. So then it would be mukodesh, as the Rabbi Lazar says.
So if she changes her mind later, they need to get
it. Yeah, sure.
Oh, interesting.
And then the Gemara says, "V'hochin amin mistaber." This is also logical. Why? The isal kadai dechresha b'manastam. If the first part of the braisa where it says it's no good is speaking by manastam, so the Gemara asks, if manastam is no good, the kedushin, but manazumi boy manazu for sure is no good. In other words, the Gemara said we must say that the whole braisa is speaking manazu. Why? Because if the first half is speaking by a regular hundred, and the braisa says it's no good, by a regular hundred, for sure by manazu, it shouldn't be good. So why does the braisa need to tell us two cases? The braisa says manastam is no good, and then the braisa continues says manazu is no good. Manazu is more logical to be no good than manastam.
So
if manastam is no good, for sure manazu is no good. So why does the braisa have to tell us that in case? So Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Imi shumha, la'ira, it's not a good comparison. Why? Because Tana, it's not two separate cases. Tana say, for the braisa says the end case of manazu, le'galuya reisha, to teach us what the first half means. Meaning like this. Shalei tema, you shouldn't say that the beginning is manazu, and that's why it's no good. Baba manas tam have a kedushin, if it will be stam. It would be good kedushin. So the Tana sefer b'mana zu. So the end of the braisa says zu. It's no good. And therefore, the reisha, the beginning, is also by mana stam. And even then, it's not a good kedushin. In other words, like this. Of the two, mana stam, meaning stam 100, or mana zu is more logical that it's no good. Because he says this, the woman thinks about the whole thing. If the braisa would only say one case, that it's no good, what case would I put it for? Manazu.
Right.
That's the more logical one to be no good. Then I would think, how is manastam? Maybe it is good. So the Braiser says both cases that they're no good to teach us. Manazdu is no good, and even Manastam is no good. Both no good. Okay? So this is the way the Gemara answers the question of the Braiser, that there's a difference between Manazdu and Manastam. Okay? Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ravashi, Omar, Ravashi answers another answer. The question was, Rabbi Eliezer says the Kedushin is valid, and the Braiser says it's not. But Ravashi says it's speaking about a different case. One case is, Rabbi Eliezer's case is, a man comes over to a woman, gives her $100, it says, I'm Kedushin to me, I'm giving you $100, and he gives her $1. So what does the lady think? He's giving me $1 for the Kedushin, and the rest he owes me. The Braise is speaking in a case, as the Braise says, a guy says, become a Kodeshus to me with $100, and he starts counting. Right? So, logically, what does the woman think? He's giving me all 100 for Kedushin. That's what she thinks. Because he starts counting it. Right? That means, become a Kodeshus to me with this $100, and he starts counting it. So, of course, in the woman's mind, she thinks all the money is Kedushin. So therefore, you could change your mind until the last minute. But in a case when a guy says to a woman, become a Kodeshus to me with this $100, and he only gives her $1, right? And if she sees there's no more money coming.
And he says, Manazu.
So what, yeah, he says, not zoo. He says, with $100. So obviously she thinks this is the Kedushin and the rest is a debt. So how can you compare the two cases? Of course the Bryce's case is no good. Because when he starts counting the money, it means all 100. She's expecting all 100 for Kedushin.
Right.
Here, in Abelazar's cases, he says, become a Kedushin for me with $100. And he gives her $1. I mean, obviously she thinks right away, the rest is a debt. But we said the same thing applies to land. Well, today they have what's called mortgages. But in the olden times, a guy wanted to buy a piece of land for $1,000. Yeah? He says, sell me your land for $1,000. He said, fine. Okay? So not everybody had $1,000 to pay, right? They're like today, you take a mortgage. So the guy gave $1. Okay? And he has to pay up the debt. Correct? So the Paskim writes, the Taz writes, that the field is acquired now for the dollar. You owe the guy $999, but it's a debt. It's not the acquisition. The dollar bought the land.
Oh, really?
The dollar bought the land.
On the promise of the rest of the land.
On the promise. It's like a mortgage, you know.
Right.
You owe the rest of the land.
Right.
What the difference? Huh?
But that doesn't work with tradition.
No, according to this, according to Rabbi Lazar's case, it does. He says, it's Kachli Bamona. He gives her $1. Right? So Rabbi Lazar says, Mukadeshus. But he owes her the money. If he never pays the money, then there's never a Kedushin. By the land, it could make a big difference. What happened? The price of real estate went up. Right? I sell you a land for $1,000, right? You give me $1. Now, all of a sudden, the price goes up to $1,500. So I say to you, 1 minute, hey, deal's off. Deal's off. And you didn't pay me $1,000 yet, so you didn't acquire it yet, so the deal's off. Because now I can get $1,500 for it. Right? What's the halacha? It's too late.
Yes, sir.
It's too late because you gave me $1. You acquired the land. That's it. Now you owe me $999. But the Kenyan is there. The Kenyan is there. In other words, even if the guy doesn't pay up the debt, in Torah law, I'm not talking about mortgage law. In Torah law, the land is still mine. You can collect the debt for me. But the land is mine.
As long as it was agreement.
Right. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to what you asked. In the Braise Seder Din, if a guy says to a woman, become a Kodeshus for me with $100. And what happens if there's only 99? No good. What happens if one of the coins was copper instead of silver? No good. Right? That's what the Braise said. So the Gemara says, "Hai din is chayshes, hechadami." What's this case? He says like this. Idi yada, three lines in the bottom. Idi yada bay, if she knew there was copper in it, sava v'kiddush, she accepted it. Right? If I give a lady, I tell her 100 shekels, right? And I give her a sack of money, and she looks at it, and she sees one of the coins of copper. And she doesn't say anything. What does that mean? That she accepted it. So why shouldn't it be good? And it says, and if not, in other words, like this, the Gemara's question is, then why does the Braisa say clearly it's not good? If she accepted it, why isn't it good? And if she didn't accept it, then anyway it's not good, because she didn't accept it. So Gemara says like this, like Tzichet speaking, he gave her the coins when she couldn't see. Well, one second, two answers. The Yavale Nale Balaila, he gave her at night. They didn't have electricity in those days, he couldn't see. Or the Stakhla Bainazud, he snuck it in between the coins. So now when she looks at the bag, she sees all silver. Right? All 100 silver. She didn't know there was a copper coin there. The Gemara says, you're right. If she saw the copper coin and she accepts it, yeah, of course it's good. But in speaking, she didn't know that it was there. Either it was at night, or it got mixed up in the coins. So therefore, the Braisa says, if he promised her 100 silver coins, and one of them was copper, it's obviously no good. But by the way, the Gemara says an interesting din, and this we'll see by the next case. Even if he changes it now for silver, it's still no good. He has to redo it. In other words, if a guy comes over to the woman, like the Braisa says, become a Kodesh Yosemi with 100 coins, silver coins, and one of them is copper, okay, and she didn't see it, and then she says, let's see, she finds out the next day, she says, hey, you gave me a copper coin. He says, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, and he got caught. So he gives her a silver coin, it's not a good Kedushin. They have to redo it.
She accepted the false amount.
No, because when he did the Kedushin, it wasn't the right amount. He said 100, it was 99.
It wasn't according to the...
Right, and she didn't see it and accept it. So even though tomorrow he exchanges it for a good coin, for a silver coin, it's still no good.
It's like the Korban.
No, one second. But Hai Dinara, Gemara said like this, but a bad coin, the Braisa said, if he gave her a bad coin, it's good. The Kedushin is good. So Gemara says, woman, hechi dami, idalei nafik, if it's not spendable, it means it's not accepted as currency, so why is it any different than dina shon chayshas? Why is it any different than the copper coin that we said it's no good?
Because now she can see it.
No, but why do we say this kedushin is good? If it's not a spendable coin, it's not currency, so then it's not any different than copper. No, but even then, by copper it's no good. Why is this good? So the Papa says like this, could gain the nafik ayidei atchak. It could be spent with difficulty. Okay? But, therefore, the Kedushin is valid, but he has to replace the coin.
And he can?
He has to replace the coin. The Bible says for Yachlif, he has to change it for a good coin. But the fact that this coin is spendable, when somebody's desperate, as silver, the Kedushin is valid.
Copper's
not as the currency. No, they dealt in currency of silver.
Oh, I see.
So then it wouldn't be good. That's why the Gemara says, if it's a dinar shon chayshes, it's not a good Kedushin. But if it's a dinar ra, if it's a bad coin, then the Kedushin is good, providing he changes it. But one second, there's another interesting thing. Now the Rishonim argue, and this is a very interesting argument, if he doesn't exchange the coin, is it good or not?
What if she doesn't find out for 2 or 3 years later? She puts the sack of money away.
Yes, that's her problem.
So if she finds out, she doesn't demand a fix.
But she does, obviously. But here's a very interesting shaila. The Braisa says, if he told her 100, you give her 99 good coins, and one coin is not copper, It's silver, but it's not really a good coin.
What does that mean, not really a good coin? How do they define
like
it?
Worn out or something?
Like worn out coin or, you know, not not something that people normally accept.
Bent or...
In time of need, you have to accept it. Okay? Now, but the Braisa says it's a good kedushin, but you need to exchange it for a proper coin. That's what the Braisa said.
Where did he see in the
Gemara
that
you
have to exchange it?
No, the Braisa before said, Harezim u'kudeshes v'yachlif. You have to change it. So now the Rishonim discuss, what happens if he didn't change it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is the Kedushin invalid, or the Kedushin is valid, but he has a debt to give her a good coin? Like Rabbi Eliezer's case. Rabbi Eliezer says the Kedushin is valid, but he owes her the $99.
Well, it sounds like a debt. Because
well, that's two opinions. The Ran, he says, says that it could be it's a good Kedushin, but he has a debt to pay a good coin.
Well, because the fact that they're allowing it to remain in a good condition should automatically allow it to be a debt.
Yeah, but
otherwise,
the simple way of learning the Gemara could mean only when you exchange it, then it became a good condition. But if you don't change it, then maybe not. Or the Ran says, no, maybe the Gemara means it is a good condition, but you have a debt. You have a debt to pay a coin. But it doesn't invalidate the Kedushin. So there's two ways of learning the Gemara over here, exactly what it means. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Nachman, bottom line of the page. New Gemara. Amar lo eskachli b'mana. The guy says like this. Become a Kedushin to me.
Wait, so what was the final, I'm confused, what was the final decision on that?
About what? No, there's an argument in the.
No, but if you have. Oh, it's an argument.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not decided.
Right. Now, Rav says a nude. Rav Amar Rav Nachman says another interesting thing. Guy says to a woman, listen, Harei at Mekadesh Asli with $100. Okay?
$800.
With $100. And then he says, I'll give you collateral instead. He gives her security. Now, in Teda. In Teda, there's a concept called a mashkin. What's a mashkin? I lend you $1,000, but I need some collateral, I need some security. So you give me something that you own as collateral. Now, is it mine?
Yes,
until... No, it's not mine. Oh, no. It's not mine.
Oh, not yet.
It's yours. Until you gave it to me as collateral.
Until he doesn't pay.
Unless if the time came for payment and he didn't pay, then I can get the collateral, right? But until the time comes, the collateral is the borrower's, right? So now the question is, a guy comes over to a woman and said, become a Kadeshus to me with $100, but he doesn't give her $100. He said, you know what? Here's collateral for the $100. The question is, did he give her anything? Because if the collateral is still mine, the man's, then he didn't give her anything.
Well, it sounds like the IOU case.
The loan story.
It's the loan.
But it's not. It's not good. One second. He says, Amar lo eskachli b'mana. Rav says, become a kodesh me $100. And he doesn't pay. He gives a collateral security. Einam a kodesh. Not a valid kodesh. Sigmar says, why not? The Gemara says, Mana Enkan, Mashka Enkan. There's no 100, because he didn't give it 100. And the collateral he never gave her, because it's still his. Jewish.
But if it comes to the point where he doesn't pay her anything, the collateral does become hers, right?
One second. Eisvei Rav Ela Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman a question. It says clearly in a Braisa, Kitche B'mashka Mekadeshes. That if he does kedusha with a mashkin, with a collateral, it is good. How you just tell me it's no good? A braisa clearly says it's good. So Gemara says, "What do you talk? It's two different cases." Hasim b'mashkin da'achedim. It's speaking like this. The braisa that says it's good is speaking like this. You owe me money. You owe me money, and you gave me collateral. Now, I take that collateral that you gave me, and I do kedushin to the woman. Then the braisa says it's good. Because I gave her something. Why? Because the bright doesn't say the lender. The Torah says the lender acquires the collateral. So therefore, when somebody gave me collateral and I give it to a woman, the kedushin is valid. But if I give a woman collateral for me, then it's not good. There's Rav Amar Rav Nachman's din is speaking. The man says to the woman, here's collateral for the $100. So the Rav says, it's not a good kedushin. You're not giving her anything.
Right, but if you give the collateral, one second.
You're not giving it. You're not giving her anything. The $100 you didn't give her. The collateral that you gave her is not, you're not giving it to her, it's still yours.
Right.
I, the Braisa says, Kedusha with a Mashkin is good. It's speaking, somebody else gave me collateral. And I give that collateral to the woman.
Not in place of money.
Yes.
Not in place of money. You're saying, here's collateral.
Here's the Kedusha.
That's what's
with the Mashkin.
Right, got it.
I'm not giving her anything, it's not yours. Marcia is like this. Rav Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok says, "Damer Rav Yitzchok, minayin lebal chayv shekein mashkin. How do I know that the lender, the creditor, owns the collateral? Shenamer, it says like this. Olachati a tzedaka. The Torah says in last week's parsha Mishpatim. Yeah, well, you're right. The din of mashkin is in Devarim. That this pasuk, you're right, is in Devarim. Cases like this, the Torah says." Normally a poor man borrows money, right? So the rich man lends the poor man money, and he takes collateral. So the Torah says, if he gave you collateral, a blanket, you have to return it at night. Because he needs it.
When it's worth
money. When the poor man needs it. The rich man has to give it to the poor man back at night, because the poor man needs it.
Oh, that's interesting.
You can keep it during the day.
That's interesting.
If it's something he needs during the day, you have to give it back to him during the day, but at night you can take it again. And the Torah says like this, Ulecha tiya tzedaka. Hashem says, I will consider it as if you gave tzedaka. Ulecha tiya tzedaka.
That's if he's a poor man, if he needs it.
Right. But the Torah says, the rich man is getting the mitzvah of tzedaka by giving it back to the poor man, yeah? Mm-hmm. Now,
so then why does he take
if it's the poor man's money, and I don't own it, what tzedaka am I getting? It's like, I take your money and give it to a poor man. I get the mitzvah. How am I getting the mitzvah with your money? If the poor man still owns the collateral, how is the rich man doing tzedakah by giving the poor man back what belongs to him?
Well, because the collateral is his.
So from here you see that the collateral really belongs to the rich man. He acquires the collateral.
But he can't do anything.
Therefore, when he gives it back,
it's
tzedakah because right now it's mine. I acquired it. So Rav Yitzchok says, from that pasuk we see that the lender actually acquires the collateral that is called his.
But he can't spend it unless he defaults the poor man.
Right.
Right, but there's some level of ownership.
But there's still level of ownership. I'll tell you a little secret. You have today in practical halacha. I know it's not very practical, but in practical halacha, this din applies. I lend you $1,000, okay?
Yeah.
And you give me collateral. The collateral is chametz. You give me a bar of liquor. Collateral, okay? Now comes Pesach. Whose responsibility is it? Is it my chametz or your chametz?
Apparently it's yours.
That's interesting.
Right? Who owns it? If you own it, you got to get rid of it.
So
if I own it, I got to get rid of it.
So it's like a din of watchman.
Yeah, it's in a shemer. And therefore the Gemara says, if you chay b'achriyusei, if you're obligated in responsibility, let's say the mashkin gets lost or stolen, are you obligated for it or not? So it depends what condition you make when you give the collateral. Is he a shemer chinam, shemer sachar, you know, whatever it is.
If nothing specified, what is the deal?
Or for that matter, it says in halacha, if a guy gives you collateral, chametz, right? You lend a guy $1,000. The guy gives you collateral chametz. Now, is it a guy's chametz on Pesach? Or is it the Jew's chametz on Pesach? So Halacha says, if the Jew is responsible, that's ownership. Then it's Jewish chametz. If he's not responsible, then it belongs to the goy, and it's the goy's chametz.
What's the default if nothing's specified? If nobody specifies...
Okay, so that's all discussion, whatever. But I'm just saying the concept exists. Who owns it when you have a collateral?
That's why Hashem says tzedakah.
Oh, so the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchok says, the fact that the Torah says... The fact that the Torah says you will have tzedakah by giving it back, let's see it inside. Damer Rav Yitzchok, minayin lebalchev shekeinu mashkin, how do I know balchev? The debtor, the lender, acquires the security, shenamer lochati a tzedakah. It will be for you tzedakah giving it back. He says, im ein akaina, if you don't acquire it, tzedakah minayin, what type of tzedakah is it? I give you back your thing, I'm a nice guy. You give me something to watch, I give it back to you. What am I, a tzedakah yid? So, mikan, from here we see, shebalchev shekeinu mashkin, a balchev does acquire it. Therefore, when he gives it back to the poor man, he's giving back tzedakah. Therefore, the Gemara learns like this. what's his name again? Rabbi Amir Rav Nachman speaks, a man says to the woman, become a kodesh to me with $100, and he gives her a mashkin, he didn't give her anything.
Right, because he said it's $100.
There's no debt here yet. There's no balchev to acquire the mashkin. There's no debt. He doesn't own the woman anything. He doesn't own. He doesn't owe the woman anything. So the mashkin, he didn't give her anything. The mashkin still demands. But this braisa that says if you take a mashkin and do kedusha with it is good, is speaking. Another borrower gave it to the lender, who's the man. The man takes that mashkin and gives it to a woman, so then he gave her some because Balchev acquires the mashkin. So therefore the Kedushin would be good.
I mean that's when the other guy defaults and he owns it already, he can give it to him.
No, even before he defaults, the Torah says it's yours. You're giving back to Dukkim.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In other words, there's a certain amount of ownership. But the Torah allows, and there's how does it work? I lend you $1,000. You give me collateral. So Gemara says it's mine. Right? That doesn't mean I can keep it. If you pay me back the debt, I can say, go fly your kite. I want to keep the security. Right. You can't do that.
Right.
It's mine, but the Torah says you can force me to sell it back to you.
With the debt satisfaction.
With the debt satisfaction.
But I have a question. I'm a little confused.
So am I. I'm a lot confused. So you got a little.
Really? No, I am. I mean, I don't understand why, when you give a mashkin to a woman, and you say harei at mukadeshesli with this mashkin, what do you mean you don't? Because he's going to give her $100, he does owe her. At that moment, he starts to owe her $100.
What's the debt? He borrowed from her.
No, but he's saying if she.
If I say I'm going to give you $100, I automatically owe you the money. Why should I owe you the money?
Alright, so it's not the same as a loan.
It's not the same as a loan.
Okay.
Here it's being a case of a loan when the guy gets the collateral. So then, he owns it for that while.
Also, he's stating with $100, so therefore the Gemara is maybe saying it's for the money, it's not for the mashkin.
Right. Okay. Whatever.
But the pledge is different.
Pledge is different.
Pledges.
If I say to a woman, I pledge to give you $100 for Kedushin, it's worthless. What are you giving her? You're not giving her anything.
Right. But if he didn't default yet, so then she can't really use it anyway.
It's still ownership.
Well...
It's ownership to a certain extent.
Right, because of what we learned out from the...
But the Gemara learns that it's mamish mine. Except I can't use it yet... Because the guy can force me to buy it, to sell it back to him.
Right, so then how can you give it to a woman?
But it's still mine!
Yeah, but what if this mashkin that he gives her has to go back to the poor guy?
Huh? So he has to give her then the equivalent, but right now he gave her something.
Yeah, but you're giving her a mashkin that you might have to later give back to
right,
the guy.
So right!
How is it worth anything?
And when you give matana minas lahachzir,
I don't know what that means.
A gift and the kedushin, you return it, it's also good.
So that's
really?
So in this sense, that's what the collateral is.
Right.
He's giving it to you.
In other words, it's not a collateral, even when you say Balchev Keina Mashkin, it doesn't mean that it's mamish 100%. The Rashi says, Tosis brings down Rashi. What does it mean it's yours? What do you mean it's yours? That if an accident, normally you're not obligated to pay for accidents if you're watching something. If an accident happened, I can't say, well, here's your money, take it back. The debt's off. In other words, I'll give you a simple case. A man gives a $1,000 loan. Yeah. The guy gives a cow as collateral. Right. No.
Right.
Okay, in the old times, it's very possible. You give an animal as collateral.
Right.
Okay. Now the animal dies. Natural death, natural cause, the animal dies. Drops dead in the barn. Okay?
Is
the dead on or off? And the cow was worth whatever the value of the debt was. So Rashi says, Tosfos brings down over here, Rashi in different places says, that Balchev Kena Mashkin, the lender, acquires the collateral, it's his behema, he dies, tough luck to the lender. He can't say to the woman, to the borrower,
tough luck to the lender?
Yeah.
Yeah. The lender's out the debt now. If he didn't acquire the mashkin, if he didn't acquire it, he can say to the borrower, take your cow back, your dead one, and you stole me the money. Mm-hmm. If he acquires it, it's his. So whose cow died? The lender's cow died. That the borrower gave him. So then the debt's over.
Really? Wow.
That's what Rashi explains.
So just give a sick cow for borrowing money.
Let's say, if the collateral dies...
Tosfos argues in Rashi, and he says, the Gemara says somewhere else differently, and therefore Tosfos learns, the only difference is if it was stolen or lost.
Yeah, natural causes or...
No, there is... The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, like the Malach Hamav, if I give you a cow to watch, and the cow dies, right? What do you say? Take your cow back. Mm-hmm. Why? As Gemara uses the expression, Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocham, Mali Hossam. The angel of death, what does he care if the cow's by you or the cow's by me? The cow has to die. The cow's going to die. What's the difference where it is? It's not my fault or your fault. It's your cow. You gave it to me to watch. Your cow, so your cow died. Baruch Dynamis. And that's it. I don't have to give you a cow back. But Rashi says, if you're kind of the cow, because Balchayim Kena Mashkin, then the debt's off. You acquire the collateral then. So Tosfos says it's not true. Gemara's in different places say not like that. So Tosfos learns, for Ainz and Taki, you wouldn't be obligated. If accidents happen, you wouldn't be obligated to. The debt's off. It's only if it was stolen or lost.
Negligence.
Everybody says you're obligated.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's like damaging with your hands.
Stolen, you're still obligated. What else? Stolen and...
No, if it was stolen or lost, the debt falls off.
The debt goes away?
That's what the... If you hold a balchayv, the lender acquires this collateral, and the lender had the cow as collateral, and somebody stole the cow, the debt's off.
Stolen, I can understand, but how do you say lost is not negligence? How do you...
No, obviously it's being a loss that's not negligent. The guy locked the guy locked the barn properly, and the cow somehow got out.
Oh, I see.
So it wasn't his fault. He did, he watched it properly in the couch. Somehow got lost. Got out.
It's almost like a matanah.
If it's stolen, it's the lender's loss.
That's if you're Balchayv Mekena Mashkin, yeah.
And if he got out, he's also the lender. So you're saying, but if he got out by himself, it's not the lender's loss?
If the guy left the barn door open, the animal got, that's negligence.
Okay. But if he locked it and he got out somehow.
Somehow. There was an earthquake and the door opened. I don't know what happened.
So you would probably have to swear.
Yeah, he would have to swear. But what the bottom line is, he's out. The debt's over.
Wow.
Okay, now the Gemara says another story. Bnei Rav Huna Bar Avin, the sons of Rav Huna Bar Avin, Zabnahu Amsa Beprita. They bought a maidservant for a few copper coins. But Lehava Badayo, they didn't have the coins when they... They bought the maidservant from the owner of the maidservant, for let's say, they said, we're going to buy it for a quarter. Okay? What happened? The brother didn't have the money. What happened? Eitzev Nazba Alel. So they left the owner a bar of silver as collateral. Okay, so they said like this. We're going to buy the maidservant, we're going to buy the maidservant for $10. They gave him collateral, a bar of silver.
Which is worth a lot more.
Much more. What happened? Amsa. Afterwards, the price of the maidservant went up to $15. So the owner wanted to cancel the deal. Because they didn't pay the money yet. They just gave collateral. Right? So the Gemara said, also kami the Ravami. So the two parties came before Ravami for a din taira. Amalahu, prita enkan, nazka enkan. There's no money. There's no seller, bar for the seller to keep. Therefore, the seller can resell it for a higher price.
What do you mean there's no
bar? They gave the bar to the seller, though.
What?
They gave the silver bar to him, though.
As long as the transaction didn't take place, you're saying that
it's worth more, but still it's not what they owe him, so therefore it's not good.
The bar of silver is only given as collateral, not as money.
So what did they say? There's no
he said there's no money and there's no bar. In other words, they didn't give anything to finalize the deal.
What do you mean they gave the bar.
The bar is only as collateral.
He has it in his hand, though. Oh, I see. So because it's... I thought you just said that...
The seller has the bar of silver in his hand.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But they didn't give it to him as payment.
Right. Oh, that's collateral.
They gave collateral. Money for the payment they didn't give him.
So
the owner says, 1 minute. Okay. Now she's worth 15. I don't want to sell it to you for 10.
Right.
So the Ravami said, you're right. There was no money. The bar of collateral isn't... Is not so. So
they didn't give a single penny yet.
Right.
How's the price of a maidservant goes up? Oh, they find out that she was pregnant, so she's more valued.
Good.
Okay. Good. The stock market maidservants are up there.
So in other words, it's not. It's just no deal.
Collateral, no deal.
Deal or no deal.
But if they offered the silver bar and it belonged to somebody else. That it would be good.
Oh, if they paid the prut, if they paid the money.
Now, the lender.
The din is like this.
If it was a collateral from somebody else, third party,
that would
be good.
That would be good. Now, but here you have an interesting din. The point over here is as follows. Rashi explains, a servant is acquired with money. Because it's like land. Now, if the kid said, we're buying it for $10, and they gave him $10. They gave him the $10. Which they didn't in this case. They only gave him the bar of silver.
Right.
They gave him the $10. And then the price went up to 15. The seller cannot change his mind.
If they gave the $10.
If they gave the $10. Why? Because then it's an acquisition through money. But, on tangible items that wouldn't work. Let's say, this Gemara, movable items. Not land. You can't acquire this with money. So if I say to you, let's say, I'm going to sell you my Gemara for $10.
Right.
And you give me $10, but you didn't pick up the Gemara yet.
Oh, okay.
And then the price all of a sudden hiked up to 15.
Uh-huh.
And the seller says, sorry boys, deal's off.
I think the deal's off.
But he said, well, we paid $10 already.
But
they never acquired the Gemara. And until you don't acquire the Gemara, the deal's not a deal. So money doesn't acquire metal and tangible items. Avodim are land. It's a Mishnah later in Kedushin that we'll get to one day. That slaves are land.
You can't pull it like an animal.
No. Money acquires them. Kesef star.
So wait a minute. If I'm trying to...
But doesn't say someone that you should still be a mention.
That's Misha Potter. So you get cursed, big deal. You get cursed in Bezdin. You get cursed in Bezdin. Big deal.
Technically speaking,
the deal's not a deal.
So wait a minute. If I want to be Mekudesh as a woman and I say, I'm going to give you $100.
No, women are not land. Oh, no. Kedushin, yeah. Kedushin women's acquired with money.
So, and then later she decides.
You don't have
to
pull her on a leash.
No, and so later.
You don't have to pull her on a leash.
But later she says she wants more, and I didn't acquire her yet.
You did. Once she took the money, you acquired her.
So it's not like, okay. Alright.
No. Soon the Gemara is going to give examples. What happens? He gave the money to the woman. The woman said, go give it to my mother in law. Or go give it to my mother. Or go put it on the rock. then we'll see. Did she mean it? Didn't she mean it? You know, if a guy gives a money to a woman for kedusha, and she takes the money and throws it back in his face, or she throws it into the ocean, so then it's not kedusha.
She's trying to.
But by the way, she has to pay it back because she stole his money.
That's true.
She would have to pay for it. She would have to pay for it. Then the kedusha wouldn't be good. That's the.
She's telling him go find other fish.
Yeah, go. You know, go somewhere else. Oh, this is like in this case. We'll just start. Turn up on it. Scotchly Bamana. The guy says to the woman, come Kurdish to me with this $100. Natalsa, she takes it. Is there the cost of the yam she throws into the ocean or into the fire? Or the whole dover of it, anything that destroys it, animal Kurdish.
Yeah.
Okay?
Obviously she
but what happens, Ashadisa Kamei? So the Gemara says, you tell me that's only if she threw it to a place where it gets destroyed.
Right.
But what happens, she just threw it down in front of her? You tell me it's Ava Kedushin? How could it be? You're telling her no. She's saying, no, I don't want it.
Right.
Okay, so we continued.